what we did was we added those things that can be used as bait from parts of a dead big game animal. The hide, skin, viscera, bone, skin, carcass of bear is already in reg. To that we added head, legs below the distal joint, which, you know, from the knee down basically, tallow, fat, and trimmings. And we went on to define trimmings in the definition section. That would take care of animals, for instance, that someone shot and butchered and wanted to use these specific parts for trapping bait. In sub 2, we got into the situation where a person would find an animal dead in the wild from natural causes. And a person would set traps around this animal. That's being done today. But in present regs, that would be illegal. Here, we've made it legal by saying that if it's found dead, the person does not disturb the animal or carcass and notifies the department or the Department of Public Safety of that particular use in the approximate location within 3 days of the use. And the idea behind the 3 days is that some people have fairly long trap lines and couldn't get to a phone or anyone sooner than that. So we thought 3 days was a pretty reasonable length of time. And that addressed the natural type of death. In sub 3, we got into road and train kill type situations where edible meat, as defined presently, in a particular situation is found to be non-edible by either public safety or fish and game, a person may obtain written permission from either of those departments for its use. And the idea here again was to not allow indiscriminate use of this meat and to make sure the proper people, such as troopers or fish and game people, could do their investigation. And if they found that this meat was not edible, then they could give written permission. In talking with public safety, they had a few concerns. And one of those concerns was in sub 2, we had not included the words not disturb the animal. And they felt that a person could find a dead or kill a moose, for instance, in the wild, say that they found it dead, cut it up and carry it off or distribute it up and down the road or whatever. And in actuality, most animals that are found are not disturbed. Traps aren't set right next to them. They're set a distance off, especially for canines and so forth, so that this really shouldn't present too large a problem to the trappers. And we felt that it was at getting to the problems that public safety said they might have. And that's about it.
You have a sign-up sheet.
Okay, other questions? Let me see if we have someone else. Representative Wallace.
Yes, I'm curious as to what information are what went on in the board meeting on this subject. I understand that the board of game addressed the subject and that the material was requested and sent to the attention of the Honorable Dave Stancliffe, and it wasn't put before the committee. And I'm curious as to what they discussed and what they found.
Mr. Chairman, Bob Hinman has just made a call. As you know, sometimes our mail system does not work as it should. I asked Tally and the secretary across the hall, Sandy, your secretary, Mr. Chairman, we had, to this point, had not received anything from the board. Evidently, Beth Stewart is making a copy. It'll be sent up. And I had talked to Bob about that again after the meeting, and Representative Pierce had some questions, and he was going to get that information. I assumed that he would have it here with him this morning. When I was approached by Representative Herman, I discovered that that wasn't true, and he has called. I believe also that he may be able to capsulize, at least in part, what that was, but I'm sure the members may want that in writing. Yeah. I'm sorry for that inconvenience.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Baby, would you like to testify, please?
Mr. Chairman, honorable committee members, my name is Jim Baden. I'm Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Public Safety.
Thank you.
In discussing this committee substitute for House Bill 407 with members of Fish and Wildlife Protection, They have advised me that after considerable discussion with people in the field, that they want to take a neutral position on this bill. They have absolutely no problem with paragraph one, using the high skin discara, the head, leg, below the distal joint. And they indicated that that was a discrepancy between the statutes and the regulations, and they see no problem with that portion whatsoever. They had no problem with paragraph two, which is using the carcass of a big game animal and trapping in the vicinity, as long as the animal isn't disturbed, and primarily it will assist us because they are doing that now, as has been stated. But with this notification requirement, we will have an opportunity to go out, if we have the resources in that area, to determine if the vehicle did die of natural causes or if it was met a violent end, so to speak. So our primary concern with number two is that we did not want them to cut up that animal and distribute it. And as I read this bill, the animal will remain in place undisturbed, and the traps will be set in the vicinity. So that should not create any additional enforcement burden. Paragraph number three is the only area that will create an enforcement problem. And again, I appreciate the effort that's gone in here to ensure that either the Department of Game or the Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection will have an opportunity to view the meat and give written permission if it appears that meat is unedible. The problem comes in, of course, is how do you determine that the permission that you gave for that particular meat is the same meat that's being used? I don't have any answer to that. And what I'd suggest after talking to all of our personnel, that if it appears that that's going to be a problem in the enforcement, that we should be able to recognize that. The individual who comes to us every 3 months with more meat that has spoiled in his freezer, we're probably going to be very suspicious of and quit granting him permission to use those sections of meat.
Representative Cato.
I'd like to get back to section two, Mr. Vaden. Would this comply then with the wanton waste, if the fact that the animal is not disturbed? Would this comply then with the wanton waste? In other words, give you a chance to inspect and you know that someone hadn't shot the animal and left it lie in order to use for bait? And
yes.
It would comply with the wanton waste law?
It would. If we went out and the animal was, you know, appeared to still be fresh, we would probably do what we normally do with roadkills, and that is to collect the carcass and give it to a charity. I can't really imagine that. I mean, most of the game animals that I found in the field have been pulled down by wolves, and the carcass is non-edible at that particular point in time. But it will give us an opportunity to ensure that the animal was not deliberately taken for bait. And I think that's a very important point in this bill.
Excuse me for interrupting.
No problem. That was the completion of my testimony.
Any questions? Representative Sun.
Yeah, have you looked at section two of the bill here, the confidentiality section?
Yes.
Okay, do you have any problems or issues with that?
The only thing that I was concerned about was that those records would be available to the Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection, and that's been added under paragraph four.
Okay. Additional questions? Committee members throwing sticks and stones at the chairman.
No, I forgot my question.
Sign of my respect.
I will testify to anything you want.
Will you take into account, like, if somebody has, you know, a whole moose and they're going to be the ones that are getting permission, and then, you know, they're going to be giving it away to? Will you accept things like another request for permission to use it from somebody other than the person that was initial request?
I would be a little bit surprised if somebody came in with a whole moose. I think that we would be taking a hard look at them for wanton waste. And we're not talking here now about the game animal that's found dead of natural causes in the field. I think that refers to paragraph 3, where the individual comes in and says, I have unedible meat. Now, I would assume that under this provision that the individual could come to us and tell us that he received 100 pounds of spoiled meat from his neighbor, Fred. It would be our responsibility to go to Fred to determine, did Fred take that game lawfully? Did he have permission? Did he fill out a tag? Does he have other meat in his freezer? And so forth and so on. That part of it would be an investigative phase before we give permission. I can't imagine the situation. And again, I think we would look very suspiciously at an individual who said, gee, I shot this moose last year, and here it is in my freezer, and it's spoiled. I think that we'd be taking a hard look at that individual for want of waste.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm just kind of curious how much of a problem it is in the field in determining what is edible as opposed to what is inedible, and whether this bill in any way improves the situation.
Well, that is again going to be up to you find a whole moose killed. Is that what you're talking about? We spelled it out in the first section when we said those parts that you can use. Okay, those parts that you can use for trapping bait. Okay, so if you go out and take a moose, you can, or a caribou or anything else, you can take those parts of that animal and use it for trapping bait. Then, if you have an entire animal that you find, or whatever, out in the woods, then you're going to have to go to Fish and Game, Department of Safety, whatever, and give them the location of the animal, and then a determination be made.
Do people really notify the Department of Public Safety to obtain written permission if they find game in the field?
The point is that most of the trappers today are, in fact, in violation because they use the head, the ears, things of that nature. They use the lower joints of the legs and things of that nature. But they're in violation. This is making it legal, and this is also would afford more information. Because of the legal process that a person could go through to be able to trap around a kill, afford more information to the Department of Fish and Game that they may not otherwise have as to how many moose kills or caribou kills there are in the area, because people are going to have a tendency to, in fact, report them. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was
Thank
reading
you. I wouldn't want to disturb your concentration there. I don't usually, this is actually directed to Dave Stancliffe, if that's all right. Section 3, lines 20 through 23. I assume that section 3 is put in there too because of the roadkill problem. But the way I read that, it says that only the Department of Public Safety can do the determination that it's edible meat. And the way it actually reads, it doesn't sound like Fish and Game can do that, can make the decision.
I had that same question, Mr. Chairman, Dave Stancliffe. I had that same question to the drafter, and she said when they say is determined by the department or the Department of Public Safety, since this bill is under Title 16, anytime you refer to just the department, you're referring to Fish and Game.
That's our interpretation.
Yeah. Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I guess we're discussing a bill that we do not really have before
right.
yet. Would you like a motion to adopt it so we can discuss it? Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt committee substitute dated 30th of January, 86, and include the original bill.
Are there objections to that? If not, committee substitute for House Bill number 407 is properly placed before this committee. Any additional questions? Representative Sun?
No, I have a motion on the bill.
Okay. Pardon?
I have an amendment to the committee substitute.
Okay, no additional questions. Do have one person to, you didn't sign up, Bob, but Bob Hinman, would you care to add a few words? Thank you very much.
would appreciate it.
Just a minute.
For the record, my name is Bob Hinman, Deputy Director, Division of Game. Section 1 of the bill, as far as I can determine, seems to now answer the questions that I have heard, or the complaints I have heard from trappers, and also the concerns that I have heard from the Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection. So I have no other comments than that on that section. On Section 2, regarding the confidentiality of these sealing reports, I have one suggestion, Mr. Chairman, and that is in the first section, paragraph C, because some of these animals that are sealed are taken both by hunting or trapping, and in addition, if the committee is interested in applying the same confidentiality to the sealing of brown bear, which are only taken by hunting, then I would suggest that that paragraph C be amended to, in the second line, which is the line between 11 and 12, add between, where it says taken by trapping, add the words hunting or trapping, and in the next line, and that identifies an individual, add hunter or trapper. Other than that, Mr. Chairman, I have no other comments on the bill.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious how the moose that the railroads become very expert at running over would be handled under this.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I understand the question entirely. I will answer this way, though, that last year we were asked by the Board of Game to explore ways of assisting trappers in interior in particular problem areas. And one suggestion they made to us was that we try to explore, well, try to provide baits to wolf trappers particularly, because that is always a very difficult thing for trappers to come up with. And we thought about the idea of, as a matter of fact, we did obtain some of the railroad-killed moose, but then realized that we could not legally provide it to trappers for that purpose. We did use some of it ourselves in some of our own programs where we were radio-collaring wolves and so on, but we could not provide it to the public. So I suppose that to the extent that our budget and activities could allow, we would try to make that sort of bait available to trappers, particularly in these hot spot areas that we need to have additional trapping for species like wolves.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess to clarify my question, I have no problem with your concern for brown bear, but if we're going to amend this to give consideration to brown bear and how they're taken, I'd like to try and assist, do something useful with the moose meat that in the last several years has become quite a problem near the railroad tracks. I don't know whether that's covered currently under this edible meat made inedible by the method of taking or not, but I see an opportunity here to put that meat to some productive use. We're talking a couple hundred moose every year run over by the railroad. Why not use this as a vehicle?
I now understand what a little of what Representative Thompson was after. You know, to the extent that we possibly can, we in the Department of Public Safety are going to salvage all of the railroad killed moose that is possible for whatever use. And certainly the first priority is for human use, if it's edible. Very often, as you probably know, the carcasses of moose that have been clobbered by a train aren't fit for human consumption. And so those have not had any use made of them, just dumping them off side of the tracks. And gathering them up, obviously, would take a great deal of manpower and time and money. It might be worth it under some circumstances where you had a really high priority need for this bait, but I wouldn't say that we would be in any position to salvage every moose that was killed along the railroad. One of our big problems always has been that we don't hear about them until, if at all, until maybe a month or two after the accident has happened. The railroad has not been always that anxious to let us know when and how many and where and so on moose have been killed.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Representative Herman.
Chairman, can you explain something to me? In this bill, then, we have this part here that says the parts that can be used as bait. And then down here, it's changing what's edible meat to non-edible meat if the department, you know, says it's okay, right? Was that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I ask Mr. Vaden, you know, about, I think, you know, a whole moose, and he kept referring to, you know, moose and freezer, and we would, you know, really investigate this whole moose business. I'm just wondering then, so this Section 3 does make parts other than number one allowable for bait.
Right. Let's just say that that's a good example of being hit by a train. And let's just say that it's all busted up and none of it's edible. Upon Fish and Game, Department of Safety making their determination that that is not an edible moose, yes, they could make it available for bait.
Okay.
Rather than just rolling it off the side of the track.
I was trying to find out then from Public Safety if, you know, like if there is a whole moose out there and one person writes in and gets permission, and then will you allow, you know, like if he gives it away or something, will you allow that other person to get permission to use the inedible part, edible part?
I spent about 45 minutes last night on the telephone discussing the same thing with railroad killed moose, and I instructed the Fish and Wildlife Protection officers in Anchorage to get together with the railroad officials today to find out just exactly what is occurring with recovering of those animals. And if they're not recovering them, why not? They have work trains that go up and down that track. I suggested that they could put a hoist on board, a flat car, whatever they have on their work train, bring those moose into Anchorage, because I happen to know that the Alaska Zoo has a great deal of use for the major portion of those unedible animals. I'm a little bit concerned with providing a hind quarter to a trapper and then having him use that hind quarter all winter long, because I'm going to have a terrible time determining where that hind quarter came from, whether it was from the moose that I gave somebody or whether it was from some other moose. So I think that we would probably be, if we're going to go through the expense to bring that moose into Anchorage, then I think that we would primarily be interested in seeing it go to the Alaska Zoo or something like that, rather than give large sections of meat out to individuals. We haven't addressed that issue other than this type of discourse between myself and our enforcement officers. I would suppose that if the moose is in an area that it's not worth the state's while to collect the carcass, and a trapper wanted to go out there and get that moose, that under this section we could provide that trapper with permission to use that carcass as bait. I would not see giving permission for him to give the carcass to other people and continuing to spread that, because I don't know how we would control that. And it's something that's not specifically addressed in this bill, and I think that we would take a very hard look at that before we would just allow the carcass to be separated and distributed.
Yeah, I think then, you know, there has to be some kind of education by the department, you know, that this can't be allowed either, because people might just, you know, figure it's they have permission to do it.
Well, one of the things that Representative Herman, that I'd hang my hat on right now is a section here that indicates that taking does not include death by a vehicle. A vehicle is described as any object that is not self-propelled. A train could be considered a vehicle and would be precluded from this section of natural causes. I mean, a moose that dies from natural causes is not one that's hit by a train. So if it appeared that that was going to be a problem, and I'm not sure that it would be a problem, I think it would be pretty expensive for the trappers to, unless they lived in the Talkeetna area, to find some method of going up and down the railroad tracks looking for a dead moose. Now, you know, the head, the bones, the hide, and so forth, the trimmings, when the moose is brought in, I see no problem with making that available to various trappers. And if there's that many moose that are killed, we should be making some effort at the recovery and the use of that meat. And I think there would be a lot of additional parts. Plus, I think years ago there used to always be various organizations that asked people to bring in their hides and so forth. And it may be that the Trappers Association would do the same thing and ask people to recover these non-edible parts or go to the various locations where the animals are being cut up and prepared for freezing and be able to collect those non-edible parts. So I think the bill does address a lot of issues. It's just, again, how it's handled administratively once it's enacted. And I think that's more or less something that would be up to the department. I think, again, if we have a problem with it, we'd be coming back here reporting to you that it's a major problem.
Any additional questions? Okay, thank you. Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In my comments about the possible, my recommendations for some amendments to Section 2, I neglected to point out also that the last word in the entire bill refers to trapping, and perhaps should say hunting or trapping.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Representative Sun.
I have some amendments, Mr. Chairman, if that's in order.
Okay.
I would move on page 2, line 11, page 2, line 12, and page 3, line 1, to put the word hunting or in front of the word trapping or trapper, hunting or hunter, conceptual amendment. The drafters can figure out the exact language.
I understand the motion.
I'd make
the
motion.
Is everyone clear on that? Okay. Okay, are there any objections to that motion? Hearing none, that amendment is adopted.
Okay, amendment number 2, Mr. Chairman, on page 2, line 16, sub-item 2, where it says, to a court under a court order, I would, to keep in conformity with the other regulation, change that to read, quote, be in conformity with a court order. I think that's the way the fish and game, or the fisheries regulation reads.
Okay. You want to move that amendment?
I'd make that motion.
Are there any objections to that motion? Hearing none, that motion is adopted. Line 16, delete 2 and include B in conformity with court order.
Mr. Chairman, I've written out a third amendment I've passed out to everybody to go on page 3, line 3. It's a subparagraph F, and it's a more of a clarification to make sure that not all this information is totally confidential, and it reads, records or reports received by the department which do not identify individual hunters or trappers or the specific locations where the animals have been taken are public information. And I'd move that amendment.
Please, I'm going to discuss that one just a second. Are there objections? I object for the purpose of discussion. Okay, what is the purpose of that, more specific, if anything?
Well, the purpose is that we took the confidentiality language out of the confidentiality statute for fisheries, and that's what it reads in that statute. And the second thing is to make sure that all of the information received by the department isn't interpreted to be confidential. That statistical information that does not identify an individual person or an individual location can be released for studies and statistical analysis by the university or other departments.
You need to know how many kills there were identified in the state, natural kills or whatever, that statistical data. Yeah. You don't specifically know where they're at, but that there was.
Doesn't identify an individual and does not identify the specific location.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. No. Okay, that motion has been moved. I remove my objection. Are there other objections?
I like other things.
Go ahead. I remove my objection. Do you have one, Representative Thompson?
No.
Okay. Hearing none. Okay, hearing no objection, that amendment has been adopted also.
I don't have anything else.
Representative Wallace.
Chairman, I just had a thought. I don't know if it's right to do this or put it in the bill or anything, but is it possible just to put in the bill that if they can turn that heat automatically over to the zoo, or is that just done automatically?
They can easily do that by regulation. This just gives them the latitude to be able to do that. They can give it to a zoo, they can give, make it available to trappers, whatever.
One other point. Was there any, like you said, that they had a problem with determining whether that meat that a trapper might have on hand has been given to them legally, or whether that's a hangover from illegal bait? Did you have a comment to that, or how are they going to determine that, or is that just part of the problem?
Yeah, that's part of the deal. I mean, there would be no way that you'd be able to, if a person had a hind quarter and he was out trapping, why he'd be in violation, at least through this process, if he had a hind quarter and it had been determined to be non-edible and come in and had permission to use that hind quarter, he would be okay to use that. If he went out and killed another moose and took another hind quarter, unless you could prove that he took that moose, it would be pretty hard to come back on him. But there wouldn't be any way, unless you can prove that that he took an illegal animal. But this just affords a person the opportunity to, in fact, get if meat is determined to be non-edible by the Fish and Game Department of Safety, to use it for trapping bait.
How much of mm-hmm. how much of a hind quarter is used as bait? Is it half? Is it a quarter? A quarter? Or because you could be a way to.
Right. There would be no. It could be the entire thing. It could be a portion of it. It would be whatever portion would be. Maybe, for example, if you shoot a moose, okay, and you shoot him in the rump, in the hind quarter, okay. There's a part of that, that is going to be determined to be not edible, or it's bloodshot or whatever, and that meat could be used for draft.
Personally, I've never heard of anybody shooting a moose in the hind quarter.
Oh, I am.
Not intentionally, I don't think they do that. Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready to entertain a motion on this?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we move committee substitute for House Bill 407 as amended out of committee with individual recommendations.
Okay. Are there objections?
I just want to mention that, I don't know when we had our last committee meeting, but we did ask the department to bring the board information over, and here we sit without any information, and I just want to make a statement on that.
Right. We are pursuing that, and we will have available to the committee and to the other people the comments from the board by the time it gets to the rules.
I remove my objection.
Well, I have a question, Mr. Chairman. We're going to hold this bill in rules till we get that information then? Because I don't see another referral on it. These are all these single referral bills here.
Okay. Yeah, it said that's the last committee referral is rules, and that's where it goes from here.
You probably could give Representative Szymanski some instructions on how to get single referral bills.
We will hold it in rules until we get a comment from the game board. Are there additional objections? Okay, hearing none. Base substitute for House Bill 407 has passed the Resource Committee with individual recommendation. Just a reminder, Arctic Research Commission briefing at 2 o'clock in 205.
Mr. Chairman, just notify, won't be until 11 o'clock Monday morning, so I won't be here for your Monday morning meeting.
Okay.
What else do we have that we can meet?
You don't have one Monday? Okay, well, there is no meeting Monday. I'll try.
Is there anything else to be brought before the committee? If not, resources adjourned.